Hello, friends. Welcome back to the 1 Minute to Glory podcast. Today, I am thrilled to be joined by the talented musician, Frankie Bars. So Frankie's not just a musician. He's a 7-time award-winning producer with a fascinating story. Frankie's journey has been one of seeking and understanding God, all while pursuing his passions in music, politics, and advocating for the marginalized, especially those facing incarceration. It's a story of twists and turns, a messy but beautiful unfolding. So Frankie and I are excited to explore it with you today and hopefully share some insights that resonate with your own path. Remember, on this journey into the unknown, you're not alone. I'm here with you every step of the way. Frankie, welcome to the show. Please go ahead and introduce yourself.
What are you passionate about?
Yeah, I'm Frankie Bars. I'm hip-hop artist Frankie Bars, and I'm a 7-time award-winning producer in Washington, D.C. I'm very passionate about bridging the gap between education and entertainment. It's my purpose and my calling and my way of inheriting the kingdom of God.
That's a big purpose that you have there. Thank you. Can you share with me your story? What led you to this path of music? And was it always clear to you? Were you always into music? Or what is your story like? Could you share with me?
Oh, I started doing art since I was a kid. But when I became a teenager, I started rapping at the age of 15, and by the time I was 18, I started a rap duo with one of my partners that I met at the movie theater in Virginia. He was from Chicago, and through me rapping for a few years, me and the guy started a rap duo called Politics, and we spelled it with a K, and we were recording my room in Virginia. And we would record on my 8-track recorder and burn the CDs, and I would go out and sell them to people in Virginia. And by me selling my CDs out in Virginia, and one of the persons that bought the CD owned an independent record label in Virginia. He was from New York. And long story short, I ended up getting signed. I got my first deal at 18 as an artist development. Yeah, thanks. It was an artist development deal. And that's when I started to learn the business. And through my art development, I was signed to do 3 demos, to complete 3 demos. And while I was doing that, I ended up getting a job at Washington Sports and Entertainment because I got kicked out of my parents' house. So I got signed, and right when I got signed, I got kicked out of my aunt and uncle's house, and I had to move to D.C. with my mom. And by me living in D.C. with my mom, her friend hooked me up with a job with Washington Sports and Entertainment. So I ended up learning the business and artist development while I was working at the arena in Washington, D.C. And that's when everything started.
Wow, that is an interesting story. If you don't mind, why were you kicked out of your family? What happened? What were their reasons?
My aunt and uncle were excited about me making music, but they thought that I was obsessed with it. I would lock myself in a room and make music like all day. And my aunt would be on my case. She was like, "You're obsessed. Turn that music down. You're always in here." I felt like she was invading my privacy. And we would argue and fight about me wanting to make music and me wanting to do things my way, but they wanted me to do the things their way. And it was a lot of fights about me wanting to do my own thing. And we would get fights, and then they would be like, "You got to get out." And then I ended up living with my mom.
Sometimes when things don't work, it's kind of a redirection that would work best on your behalf.
It's like, if I didn't get kicked out of my aunt and uncle's house, then I wouldn't have ended up getting a job at Washington Sports and Entertainment.
So you learned the behind the scenes. You said doing rap at 15. Yeah. So what did you like about it? And what did you love most to talk about in your music?
Well, what inspired me to rap was a lot of the stuff that I was going through at the time, like with my aunt and uncle in school.
You mean the misunderstanding, or were there deeper things?
I was misunderstood. I felt very misunderstood. I didn't have a relationship with my mom. I didn't know my dad. I wanted to do my own thing. I wanted to create. I was very unorthodox. And my aunt and uncle was trying to push me in this box to be very conventional. But that wasn't, I was very inspired by Eminem at the time and Jay-Z. And then my aunt and uncle did not want me listening to Jay-Z. So they got on me about listening to Jay-Z. And then Eminem, I was introduced to Eminem through my classmates in high school. And when I heard and was listening to his raps, like the Slim Shady LP and his story, I felt like that was me. Everything that he was talking about, I felt like I was going through. So I would try to mimic Eminem. And that's what really inspired me to rap. So all my friends was like, man, you gotta listen to Eminem, you gotta listen to Eminem. And then they was rapping too. So I was like, man, I want to do it because it was my way to express what I was going through, as a teenager.
So you said that you did not know your mother. So when you moved with her, it helped you perhaps with your career. But how was it to move back with her and rebuild that relationship with your mother?
It was good for a while. As a teenager, that phase, it wasn't really a good relationship, most of it, but that window right there, as a teenager, it was a good opportunity for me to rekindle or get to know her by living with her.
And you said you did not know your father.
No, I still never met my father.
I'm sorry to hear that. And so you mentioned God at the beginning, that you wanted to spread and talk about God in your work. How is God in your life, or how did you first connect with God? Was it in your childhood? Was there at some point that you felt that you wanted to connect with? And sometimes we connect God with our physical fathers as well. Perhaps if you want to share anything about that.
Well, I grew up in the church. My aunt and uncle raised me in the church, and I used to try to
What
copy.
church? What
At
is?
my time, I would always try to copy the preacher, and so I would sneak up to the pulpit while the lights were off, and I would turn the lights on and act like I was preaching. I try to preach stories of David and Goliath, and my pastor would turn to my uncle and be like, "Yo, he has a calling on his life. He's a preacher," and they would always call me preacher boy. My uncle would take me around with him to do ministry. Because he was a deacon at the church, and he would take me to do prison ministry and visit the sick. And I was a kid, right? So I was doing prison ministry as a kid. So I would go to Lorton. Lorton is shut down, but it's a very bad prison that used to be around. And I would pray with the prisoners, felons, like prisoners, killers, criminals. And I would pray with them. And these criminals would be crying. They would be crying and weeping. And so the deacons and stuff was like, "Yo, he has a calling on his life. I've never seen these grown men cry." I had this spiritual effect on people. And my uncle would just take me around. And then when I would pray, it would really move people. I mean, they said it was my calling, but I didn't really know until I got older. I was less than seven. I was maybe about 5 or 6. They were like, "You would say," because I would be out in the streets in DC, and they would be like, the people that were there praying with us, they were like, "Preacher, preacher, boy, I remember when you would pray and you would say, 'Lord, please help those men to stop killing, help them to stop murdering, help them to stop this, that.'" And every time he sees me, that's all he remembers, like, and me praying as a little boy. So I guess I was praying that they would stop what they were doing. But obviously, God was using me because I didn't know nothing. I was like 6.
It's like a little Samuel.
Yeah, and that's so crazy. Like, I'm reading the book of Samuel right now.
That's
But
great. And so
yeah.
do you still go now, or is it something from the past, or is it something you're still interested in doing?
All right, so this gets really deep, okay? This is beyond the music, okay? All right, so when I became a teenager, I started leading Bible studies in boarding school. I'm 15 years old leading Bible studies, right?
That was in DC, back
This
in
is in
DC.
Virginia. This is in Winchester, Virginia. I read this book called Divine Revelation of Heaven by Murray Baxter. And when I read that book, I read Divine Revelation of Heaven and the Divine Revelation of Hell. And when I read about what she saw in hell and what she saw in heaven, I was like, "Yo, I have to spend the rest of my life finding as many souls as I can to bring into the kingdom." So from that moment on, at 15, I literally spent my whole life trying to see how many people I could save. And I started by doing a Bible study in my boarding school.
And the purpose of these studies is to kind of stir people from their spiritual slumber and seek God. That's great. And so you're reading Samuel, the book of Samuel, first and second at the moment. Do you integrate those themes into your music?
All my music is inspired by my story, like between DC and Atlanta and Virginia, which is also backed by my political career. So I'm actually campaigning right now. Have you seen my shirt? Yes. It's a
That
political campaign that I'm working on.
yes, on 83.
I-83 is like ranked choice voting. We're trying to get ranked choice voting on the ballot so that people can vote for independent if they want. If they want to vote independent, they can vote in the primaries because in DC we suffer from voter suppression. So it allows people to choose the highest rank down to the lowest rank or the top five candidates that they would like to vote for. Remember now, my first rap group was named Politics. So basically, it was God's plan the whole time to use me as an orator or a law bearer or a gatekeeper or a vanguard between realms. It's infiltrated through the world of politics and art. So I bridged the gap between art and politics and education and entertainment for the sake of carrying out God's law into the earth. And we all know that God's law is what? Love the Lord your God with all your soul, heart, mind, and strength. And the second one is like it, to love your neighbor as yourself. So I carried out those laws through the lawmakers. So my lead single to my debut studio LP is called On the Roll, which is inspired by Revelation chapter 3, verse 5, which talks about your name being written in the book of life. Behold, I saw a book, and there were names written in the book. Which was the book of the Lamb's
The
book of
book
life
of love.
for the people, for the chosen ones, for the believers. And so it's like when God calls my name in the Holy of Holies, and my name is on that roll, is on that list, and there's nothing that can take me off that list. So my name is on the roll in the classroom of heaven. So that's what the single is. And my debut studio LP is called Trust, Truth, and Law. Trust, Truth, and Law, the Frankie Barr Show. Because the Frankie Barr Show is my debut award-winning television series. But if it wasn't for me following God's laws, I wouldn't be an award-winning television producer. There would be no Frankie Barr Show. Like,
Right, of course. You're there for
God
a
would be.
purpose. So that show, where can we see it? Where can
Originally, the show was on DC TV. I published my first episode in 2018, and I won a 2019 Voice of Music and Entertainment for one episode of the Frankie Barr Show, or called The Art of Law. Then I put episodes on YouTube. So if you go to my YouTube channel, you can see the original episodes
called the Frankie Barr Show,
and
right?
the Frankie
Okay, I
Barr
will
Show.
put a link in the show notes as well so that it's easy to find.
My YouTube page is Frankie Barr's, and the playlist is the Frankie Barr Show. And then I took season one, then I started at season one and published that through our Patreon. My Patreon page is at patreon.com. I am Frankie Barr's.
That's great. And so you mentioned particular artists and musicians that have influenced your style, Jay-Z, Eminem. Is there anyone else?
Now, also, OutKast was a major influence on me. Like, I listened to OutKast before I started rapping. I listened to Jay-Z before I started rapping, Eminem before I started rapping. I was 16 years old when I met Andre 3000 at a movie theater in Fairfax Town Center. And me and Andre 3000 watched Goldmember together, Austin Powers. That was crazy. And I got to talk to him and ask him, I was like, how do I get to where you're at? But I was a teenager at the time. And Andre 3000 gave me the phone number to Stankonia. He said, you got to keep writing to send in a demo. And I asked him, could I rap for him? But he wouldn't let me rap for him. He said, I don't want to cause a scene, but it still caused a scene. As soon as he walked into Tower Records, I was like, yo, Tower Records is right here. I bought your album, Stankonia, right here at Tower Records. The Tower Records is not around no more. But then he went to go get some, he was like, speaking of music, he was like, we're looking for a place to get some music. And he walked into the Tower Records, and then everybody, there was these two girls that spotted him and started chasing. They chased him out the record store, so he couldn't get any music. That was like my first experience of meeting one of my heroes. And then I met Jay-Z at the Washington Sports and Entertainment where I worked. I met
Wow.
Jay-Z Best of Both Worlds tour because I was a janitor at Washington Sports and Entertainment. And I went backstage to meet Jay-Z and I got a CD from the radio host, Rain. Because in DC on WPGC, they had a show called It's Flex and Rain on PGC. They were the host, and I met her, and she gave me a volume one of Jay-Z's CD, and I ran downstairs and caught him right when he was walking in the back, and I signed my CD and I had a conversation with him. And I walked up to him, and his bodyguard grabbed my book bag and yanked me back, and Jay-Z was like, he's cool, yo, let him go, and I asked him to sign my CD, volume one in my lifetime. And he was signing the CD and he asked me, he was like, do you have all of these? And I said, I had all of these, but just recently someone stole my CD booklet. Someone stole all my CDs. I had all your CDs, but someone stole them all. And Jay-Z was like, well, people steal. He was signing it. He gave me the CD back. And I said, yo, can I ask you a question? And he said, yeah, go ahead. I said, what's the difference between an MC and a rapper? And he replied to me, he said, an MC is technically gifted, a rapper uses mass appeal. He said, I consider myself an MC and a rapper. Talib Kweli, MC, Chingy, rapper. And I was like, thank you. And he said, good luck. And
So you mean one is more authentic and the other
yeah.
one is responding to what others want from them
Yeah,
to appeal to the public?
that's what his description was. And what's so crazy, that's exactly what I was learning in artist development from the deal that I got in Virginia from the record label from New York, which ended up under Def Jam and Kevin Lyles, who worked with Jay-Z. So God put all this together. I was a teenager when all this was happening. I was 18 when I met Jay-Z. And by the time I was 21, I had met all my heroes that I grew up, except Eminem. I still never met Eminem. But back then, I was the Black Album era. But the knowledge and the wisdom that I gained from being around that is what developed me to become Frankie Bars.
I see. When you ask questions like, how, what can I do to be there? It's a very humble question, I think, because sometimes we put up walls. It's hard to acknowledge where we are versus where we want to be. It takes honesty with ourselves or understanding also the emotional block. So, what suggestions you may have to those who are afraid to ask the right question, because we all have desires or dreams, especially artists, but it's not always easy to do the steps or to do what it takes. Do you have anything to share about that? To share, to encourage people, especially because it's not as easy to follow a creative path. We're afraid to step outside, be alone.
Yeah, you just need to follow your heart, follow your passion. I think that's the biggest issue. I've met people in their 40s and 50s and 60s that still struggle with following their passion because they're worried about what somebody else thought. Like when you get that hunch, when you get that kick, when you feel that burning desire, you got to go with it. The issue is people don't follow that. They get the fire, they get the hunch, and then they get distracted or they start doubting themselves. That's vicariously living their life through someone else. Like when you feel the hunch, when you feel the fire, stick with it and go with it. And then the technical aspect to become a master at your passion requires discipline. But the passion is what fuels the discipline. That's all I have to say.
Is there anything that you'd like to share as far as your upcoming projects, where to find you, and a message that you'd like to leave us with?
Well, On the Roll is the lead single to my debut studio LP, which is Trust, Truth, and Law, the Frankie Barr Show, which is available on my Patreon page exclusively. My debut EP called Grace, which speaks on the backstory of my family and my mother, that is available on all music platforms with the lead singles Made with Love, The Keys to the Pose, and Do You Deliver, which Lady Furnace helped me create. Lady Furnace, she's a DC activist in Washington, DC, and that led to On the Roll and the debut studio LP, which is the first time that I'm publishing my music strictly on my Patreon page. And the single On the Roll will be $4. And my debut studio LP, Trust, Truth, and Law, the Frankie Barr Show, will be on my Patreon page for $100. And it's patreon.com/IronFrankieBars. Or you could type in Frankie Bars, FrankeyBarrz.
I will make sure to get all that information and I will put it in the show notes so that everyone can find you very easily. And I wish you the best with your campaign that you're doing as well and your projects.
Yeah.
Thank you. Is there anything else that I'm leaving
No,
behind?
I really like your podcast. I've been
Thank
listening
you.
to it on Spotify, and I think it's amazing that you represent for the kingdom of God, and you have amazing people on there, and how you
Thank
use it,
you.
you know, to carry out the knowledge of God. It's very clever, and it's so current. It's so current. Like, you advance in the kingdom of God through media, through podcasts, and you write on time. You're doing it for the right reasons. Like, you ride that wave. The wave belong to God. You
That's my
know what I'm
desire. Thank you very much for the encouragement, and I wish you the best with everything you're doing.
saying? Yes, well, thank you so much.
I trust you found this podcast episode enjoyable. Perhaps some of you can even relate to Frankie Barr's experiences. Here are a few key points I gleaned from this episode that I'd like to share with you. But first, I wanted to share this scripture from Proverbs 13, verse 12, that says, "Hope deferred makes the heart sick, but a longing fulfilled is a tree of life." So here are the takeaways. Number one, life's not a straight line. We all have unexpected turns and bumps along the way. They can be tough, but they can also teach us a lot. Number two, God gives us dreams for a reason. When we follow those dreams and trust in Him, we learn more about how much He loves and cares for us, and we grow into the person that He designed for us to be. Number three, we all learn at our own pace. Be patient with yourself and with others. Number four, art can help us express ourselves. It's a great way to deal with difficult emotions and experiences. Number five, following God brings peace and guidance. Trusting in Him can help us heal and figure out what to do with our lives. Dear friends, I'm excited to announce that my podcast will be undergoing a makeover. I'm dedicated to serving you better, and I invite you to stay tuned for the next phase of the podcast and how it can better serve your needs. In the meantime, I'd love for you to join me in my private Facebook group where we can connect further. The link will be posted in the show notes. Until next time, take care. I hope you enjoyed this episode. I'd love to hear from you, so please leave a review below or on Apple Podcast. If you found today's message encouraging, please consider sharing it with someone who might benefit. Your support helps us also reach more listeners. Thank you. Bye for now.